Today on Real Radio.
Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. And so they're getting ready. And then look at the hand of God. The hand of God reveals. Now watch this. And again he stooped down. This is the second squatting down of Jesus. And this to me is amazing because he stoops down the second time. Now, if you are really self-righteous, stuck-up legalist, when Jesus turns to them and says, hey, whoever's sinless, let him cast the first stone. Here's the scary part about this. These buffoons probably thought they were sinless.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We're currently looking at chapter 8, the first 11 verses of which is the account of the adulterous woman brought before Jesus to see how he would react and whether or not he would condemn her. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study
and
called
so they launch an
What
attack,
God
verse
Says
3 against
About
Jesus.
Adultery.
There's an attack upon him. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, if I were writing the Bible, or if I were Jesus, my next line would have said, how do you guys know? What, is some kind of a peep show? How do they catch her in the very act of sexual intercourse? And with who? This is why a lot of scholars believe this is a setup. It may or may not be. Some scholars argue that these guys, these religious buffoons, knew her because they had shared in her service as well. Interesting. We don't know. But they drag her to Jesus, and it sounds kind of polite in the King James Version Bible. They set her in the midst. It kind of sounds like they put out a little stool with a little pillow, and she sat down. They drug her there and cast her at his feet. And they have got an argument with him, and the argument is this. Moses says, kill her. What do you say? You see what they're trying to do? She's caught in the very act. Now, what do you think she's wearing if she was caught in the very act? At best, not much. So let's say that they covered her with some sort of a robe or cloak of some sorts, and they drag her there and they put her there. Oh, let's think for a moment. Would she have been embarrassed? Would she have been exposed? Would she have been shamed? Would she have been fearful? Would she be realizing that she now has reached the end of her life? Did you know that? Say, what? Yeah. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22, the Bible says, if a man is found lying with a woman who's married to another man, it's called adultery, then both of them shall be put to death. They shall be stoned to death. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you love to have that topic on Oprah or some show like that? Can you imagine? Or this program that should be illegal, but I'm afraid it's the pulse of America, this Jerry Springer. I have a hard time saying person. This is animalistic. Wouldn't it have been great if there's a caption there, the Bible says to stone adulterers. How many people would go out and commit adultery if you knew that the end of your escapade would lead in a stoning? Can you imagine? God says kill an adulterer. Stone them to death. I mean, that's a little heavy, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is very heavy. However, the Bible says a person can commit many sins, but the person who sins in sexual immorality sins against their own soul and their own body. Now listen, Many people in here are adult enough to know that when you sin in sexual areas, you sin something different than if you tell a lie or whatever the other case might be, because you sin against your own soul. You never think the same again. You never feel the same again. It is a black cloud that sexual immorality puts upon a person's life. And let me say this now so I don't forget it. I speak to hundreds, by now thousands of youth across America. And I can tell you something right now, it never, never ceases to bring a tear to an eye of a young girl who has been promiscuous and involved in some sort, to some level, of sexual immorality. To be able to tell her that Jesus Christ says to you, you can go now being forgiven and go and sin no more. The joy that comes on their heart. To tell them that only through Jesus you can become a virgin again. Then there are sick, perverted people, many of them adults, who put down children's desires to be celibate and to live a holy life and to be dedicated to their husband on their marital day. We're in our own system, in our own school board, in an own meeting, I've heard that mocked. It's a sad and sorry day. Thank God for people like A.C. Green, who visited here recently and preached and taught to stay abstinent in sexual activity. Thank God for even this non-Christian girl, Jessica Simpson, I think is her name. Is that the right name? Anybody know? The singer? Virgin. She's a virgin. She says, I'm keeping myself for my husband. She's not even a Christian. And the world mocks her. What a sorry day when the world calls good evil and evil good. The attack is upon Jesus, though. They're coming after him. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding and will destroy his own soul. And I said, Jack, can you get out of the Old Testament? This is heavy, man. Well, just hang on, almost. What about rape? What about rape these days? Well, he didn't know what he was doing. Well, it seemed like he knew what he was doing when he was raping her. A woman confesses an event about rape and the system laughs it off. You know what God says about rape? Now remember, this is the God of love. This is the God of holiness. This is the God of justice. This is the God that died on the cross for your sins to forgive you and I of our sin, to take us to heaven. God says concerning the rapist in Deuteronomy 22:25, if a man finds a young woman in the countryside, implying she's defenseless, and that man forces himself upon her, that man shall be put to death. That's what God says about rapists. I love what England used to do. Tragically, a little less than 100 years ago, they stopped this. England, when a man was convicted of a criminal offense, capital offense, England preached the gospel to that man for 2 weeks every day. 2 weeks every day, he had the gospel given to him in prison, and at the end of the 2 weeks, he was asked if he wanted to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have your sins be forgiven, or do you want to denounce Jesus Christ? What is your choice? And the man was compelled to make a choice. The choice that he made, no matter what it was, Jesus, no Jesus, he was hung from the gallows in that moment. Now that is mercy. That is awesome that you can be so convicted and be guilty and yet the system offer you, though you go to the gallows to experience forgiveness and eternal life in heaven, or to continue to reject Christ and go to hell. That's mercy. I tell you what, there'd be a lot less rapists. Isn't it sad that in non-Christian nations, you can drop your wallet. I had a school teacher drop their wallet in Ankara, Turkey, out in front of their hotel, and they were gone 8 hours on their tour, came back, and the wallet was sitting on the sidewalk in front of thousands of people. No one touched it. You want to know why? You get your hand cut off if you touch somebody else's wallet. So people don't touch wallets in Turkey. Now, what do you think the law is created for? The law was created to proclaim every man a sinner and God righteous. That's why it's wrong for people to say, I'm going to save myself. Oh, how are you going to do that? By being good. You can't be good. Besides, the word good is only reserved for God. You can't be good. Well, I'm pretty good. Well, you can be pretty good compared to your neighbor. You may even look great good. But in comparison to God's righteousness, you don't look so good. I don't look so good. So they attack Jesus. Say, Jack, please get out of the Old Testament. All right, I will. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication. Fornication is sexual immorality or porneia. You recognize that word? Pornography. Sexual things. Sexual immorality. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Ephesians 5:4. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, or idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now listen, if a person falls in sexual immorality and they repent and confess, they'll be forgiven. But if a person lives a lifestyle of going to bed with people and yet proclaims themselves to be a Christian, the Bible says they will not make it to heaven. I didn't write the book. I'm not making it up. This is a serious thing. But equally serious is our adultery that all of us commit when we love other things instead of God. We all can commit spiritual idolatry and adultery by loving things other than God. Thirdly, under this consideration, verses 5 through 6 is the accusation against Jesus Christ. They say to him, now Moses in the law, dropping names here by the way, commands us that such a one should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said to test him, that they might accuse him. Now two things are going on here. Number one, if he condemns her, then his ministry to the outcast is immediately cut off. Think about it. If he condemns her, he's not a friend any longer. He's not merciful and forgiving of publicans, common people, and sinners. If he lets her go, then he's soft on sin. He's a weak savior. In fact, if he lets her go, then going to the cross is only a disaster. In fact, Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The answer to that is yes, he will. How is he going to do right? That's the fun question for us this morning. What's Jesus going to do? I mean, this requires the wisdom of Solomon, doesn't it? But a greater than Solomon is here. It's Jesus. He wrote the book. And he knows what's going on. And I love what he's going to do here. Before we go to our second point, whenever a legalist is confronted with grace or the potential atmosphere of forgiveness, they go bananas. A person who's bound by legalism, keep the rules. If you keep the rules, you can be a member of this church. You broke the rules, you're out of here. And by the way, they're always man-made rules because God didn't produce rules to save us. Legalist, self-righteous. Whenever grace is in the atmosphere, they hate it. In fact, they'll say, well, grace is for weak people. That's for people who are kind of slow in the kingdom. They have a little bit of spiritual retardation. They haven't arrived like me and my three friends have. When the rest of you get on the bandwagon of holiness and righteousness, then we'll talk to you. Have you noticed people who think like that? There's only always two or three of them. And they die. The group dies off. And legalism strangulates itself. It neuters itself. It cannot reproduce. But the love of God? Oh, it's altogether different. Second point, what Jesus says about sin. Not only what he thinks, what Jesus says. What Jesus says about sin. Look at verse 6. There's the silence of God. The silence of God can sometimes be heard. Listen to this. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. I love this. He stoops down. Okay, stoops down. Number one, he's stooping down. He writes. I want to suggest to you one time before when God stooped down and wrote. He stooped down out of heaven on Mount Sinai and he wrote. And what did he use? His finger. And what did he write on? Can I say it this way? Can I argue this? He wrote on stone tablets. Of course, stone tablets are nothing more than a bunch of particles of dust compiled together and compressed, okay? The finger of God stooped down out of heaven. God wrote on a stone tablet, and he gave the law. Jesus stoops down, and he writes with his finger on the ground, and it's as though he's not listening to them. And we'll touch on that point in a moment about what they're saying to him. But there are several views about what he's writing. Don't you want to know what he's writing? I'll give you a few views and then I'll tell you what he wrote. Some scholars say this, that he wrote the fourth commandment. That he wrote the fourth commandment, that you're to keep the Sabbath holy. You say, why would he write that? Because it was a special Sabbath day. It was the eighth day, a special Sabbath after the tabernacle, a festival. Now listen, he could have written the fourth commandment. Why? Because you can't throw stones on the fourth commandment. You can't pick up anything on the fourth day, the Sabbath day. You can't throw rocks. That's a kind of a cool little clause, huh? Mm-mm, not going to happen. Can't throw rocks on the Sabbath. He could have wrote that. I don't think he wrote that, but it's, you know, hey, our guess is as good as any other guess, right? The second view is this. He wrote the seventh commandment in the dust. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's fine, and it is true. But how does it apply to these guys? Unless they're guilty of adultery. Were they? They could have been. I just want to throw this thought out. How'd they know this girl? And how'd they know to find her so fast? Could they know where she worked? But that's pure speculation. Third, he wrote down the name of the man and the woman caught in the very act. Because the man, where's the man? They're supposed to bring them both there, and they're both supposed to be stoned to death. Where's the guy? See, a lot of scholars believe that these Pharisees paid the guy to entice the woman, to get them into the act of intercourse. Then in the great moment with their, you know, priestly SWAT gear, break down the door, or rip open the veil, come running in there and say, ha! Caught in the very act! We're taking you to Jesus. That's what we're going to do. Where's the man? He's not there. Could it be a setup? Could be. Or could it be just injustice where men were let go and women nailed and stoned? That's very possible too. This is what I think, which is as good as anybody's guess. He stoops down once, and I believe in stooping down once like he did in the book of Exodus. I believe that he wrote in the dust the Ten Commandments. That's what I think. But hang on, the silence of God. Their mouths are flapping. And he's just there, he's squatting down, and he's just writing in the sand that's on the ground. Probably sand that's on the very, not sand, dust that is on the well-polished tile of that area. He's just writing. And I bet he enumerates. I bet he's writing 1, 2, 3, and he's writing them out. The silence of God can be heard sometimes. Has God ever been real quiet? Doesn't it drive you crazy? I shared this Wednesday night. I won't share it in detail, but I was speaking up in Seattle this last week, and I couldn't get a message. I studied forever. I did not have a message. And then it's just an hour and a half before I'm supposed to get up and speak in front of these pastors with Chuck Smith sitting right there in the front row. And I would have done anything to have a heart attack, seizure, or some sort of a horrible medical malfunction. I would have embraced it gladly to get out of it. I had no message. And every time I went to pray and to study, now I mean to tell you, it was weird. During the day, weird hours of the night, I was up on my face. Oh, God, please talk. Speak to me. I got to go teach these guys. I've got nothing to say. Man, have you ever licked a rock in the desert? That's exactly, it's like, nothing. And it's so strange because I opened up the Bible and I opened up the Bible and sometimes it's like yelling at me. You know, I got to write it faster. It's like, oh, Lord, this is great. There's nothing there. And I'm like, I got a pen. I got a paper. Come on, let's go. You can do it. Yeah, I know you can. Come on, God. Come on. Now, nobody knew. I was in my room, and they gave me this incredible view of the what's it called? Puget Sound? That's a horrible view when you're trying to study. Like, come on, God. Oh. I had to draw the curtains. Come on, come on. Nothing. Silence. You could feel it. Horrible. Couldn't sleep for days. No message. I get up there. Oh, welcome, welcome. We can't wait to hear what God's going to speak. And I'm going, oh, Lord. So Pastor Chuck, he gets up, he teaches. Lewis Neely from Sacramento, he gets up, he teaches. And then Wayne Taylor goes, well, next, the Lord's going to speak to us. Pastor Jack's going to come on up. And I'm, God, help me. It's a horrible feeling. There's the worst feeling in the world. The silence of God. Thank God. He decided to say something right then when it started, you know. And God came through. The silence of God sometimes can be heard. Jesus is kneeling and he's silent. And he's writing. And their mouths are moving. The wisdom of God overrules. But listen, it says, so when they continued speaking, he raised himself up and said to them, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. And so they're getting ready. And then look at the hand of God. The hand of God reveals. Now watch this. And again he stooped down. This is the second squatting down of Jesus. And this to me is amazing because he stoops down the second time. Now, if you are really self-righteous, stuck-up legalist, when Jesus turns to them and says, hey, whoever's sinless, let him cast the first stone. Here's the scary part about this. These buffoons probably thought they were sinless. Oh, did you hear him right? I think he said, it's time to start throwing rocks. Didn't he say who's without sin? Well, I don't know about you, but that's me. Well, I was just about ready to say the same thing about me. Well, I know that's about me. I'm sinless. Give me some rocks. They're probably piling up rocks. There's probably guys stretching. All right. Getting loosened up here. I haven't thrown a rock in a couple of weeks. This is going to be great. It's a horrible thing when so-called religious people or Christian people love to throw rocks. They love to hit people with their words or with their insinuations or... Can you believe that these are religious people thinking they're doing God a service, and all throughout their Old Testament, there's forgiveness and grace extended to people like King David, huh? And Samson? And others? Are they going to rejoice in righteousness and in mercy? No, give me a rock! Years ago, Walter Martin said, Christians are a weird group of people. They're the only ones who shoot their own wounded.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called What God Says About Adultery, a look at the adulterous woman that was brought before Jesus to see how he would handle the situation and whether or not he would condemn her. We'll pick up with more in this series through the Gospel of John on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, we do invite you to get in touch with us by either calling or going online and visiting www.calvaryCCH.org. CalvaryCCH.org is a quick and efficient way of finding out everything that's going on here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and things pertaining to Real Radio. Again, CalvaryCCH.org. You can also give us a call by dialing area code 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. Finally, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and by your tax-deductible contributions. By your participation, we can continue communicating the gospel on the radio. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.